TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Hello, everyone. It is 9 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States of America. I threw in America tonight. And you know, and it's Friday night. Did I say that? And you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. We're going to get to the latest on the Biden documents, but I really don't want to start with that this evening. I would really rather start with some other stuff. It's Friday. Not that this is light in any way, shape or form, but I'm going through Politico earlier today, and I come across this, that the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, and the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, have announced that their surveillance system, now get this, flagged a possible link between the new Pfizer bivalent COVID-19 vaccine and strokes in people age 65 and over. But of course, they're continuing to recommend the shots. Of course, they're not going to tell you not to take them, because they'll tell you that, and then they'll say, but you know, it's so few, it really doesn't matter. The surveillance, of course, raises the question whether stroke risk was elevated in the 21-day post-vaccine period versus 22 to 44 days post-vaccine, according to the CDC website. Now, they say that other data from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and other sources have not shown an elevated risk of stroke. So what does that mean when we get that kind of conflicting information? Well, why don't we go to the people who make the drug? Yeah, the people who make the vaccine or whatever it really is. Guess what they're going to say? Pfizer and BioNTech said in a statement, there is no evidence to conclude that ischemic stroke is associated with the use of the company's COVID-19 vaccines. Gee, what'd you expect them to say? But I'm not by nature a conspiracy theorist, and I don't know. Look, this is the CDC and the FCC and the FDA rather telling us that there's an increased risk of stroke if you take this booster, I guess is what it is, from Pfizer, if you're 65 or over. So you know what? I'm going to believe them, because there's so much they did not tell us. And if someone had written this or questioned that or asked this question 2 years ago, hey, do the vaccines cause stroke? They'd be banned from Twitter, banned from Facebook. They'd be banned. So I guess it's a step forward that at least now you have the CDC and the FDA saying this. And I would take it, if I were over 65, I would take it as a warning. I really would. I mean, how many people do we know that they're vaccinated, they're double vaccinated, they're double, triple boosted, and they still get COVID? Now, maybe it does keep them out of the hospital. I can't answer to that. And I'm not telling anybody to take the vaccine or booster or Pfizer or Moderna. I mean, you can find stories on Moderna now, too. And I'm not telling anybody not to take it. I'm just saying this is a story, because we usually don't get this acknowledgement. And I personally don't believe they would have even issued the statement if they weren't concerned. But that's just how I interpret it. Folks, I'm not saying these people are dying of strokes. I'm saying there's more to it than just this story. Because look around you. Look around. You know, my friend Joe Hofta does a show here on TNT Radio, of course. If you go to the Gateway Pundit, the website that he writes for, you'll see one story after the other. I'm not saying that that dominates the site by any means, but you'll see stories that you really won't see in many other places at all. And they document a young girl, you know, dying of cardiac arrest, athletes dying of cardiac arrest, doctors in their 40s dying of cardiac arrest. It's like all of a sudden, and I don't know the statistics. I can't tell you a percentage increase or not. All I know is that it's more and more people we're hearing about, athletes too, that are dying. And then there's the people in their 40s and 50s that are dying. Now, I'm not going to say it. It was a little personal and about someone I know, and I don't want to politicize that person.
They say cardiac arrest, that she died from cardiac arrest.
It was one day after she went to the Golden Globes with her mother. Now, I don't know. Did she even have a vaccine? I don't know. But it really makes you think. It should make you think. It should make you ask questions. What's going on here? And giving it to young kids? Young kids? Really? The COVID vaccine? And I hate calling it a vaccine because we know the CDC changed the definition of vaccine. Vaccine used to mean you get a vaccination, you know, for measles, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, this, that, and you don't get it. Well, when they saw that the COVID vaccine wasn't a vaccine by definition, they just changed the definition of vaccine. Now it's a vaccine under the new definition. So I'm not really telling you anything you don't know. And there are, I'm sure, people listening in the United States and all over the world, the great reach that TNT Radio has, that know a lot more than me about this stuff with the vaccine and conspiracies. And I hate to call them conspiracies. I'll say underreported. Not reported because they've been censored or banned or whatever. Stories, doctors who have spoken out that got fired at the beginning. The one of the inventors of the vaccine who won't take it. I mean, that's all out there. So just think hard. That's all I'm going to say. Think hard. Now, I did take, when I had COVID a few weeks ago, I did take the Pfizer drug. It'll come to me. Starts with a P. Paxlovid. I took the Paxlovid. I hated it, but I took it, and they said it stopped the spread of the virus in the body, and it keeps you out of the hospital. And that was my main concern. I didn't want to go to the hospital, so I took it. But I don't know. It's just that when the CDC and the FDA talk about seeing statistics, seeing a surveillance system that flagged a possible link between strokes in people over 65 and the new Pfizer BioNTech bivalent COVID-19 vaccine, you should take notice. You really should take notice. Now, let's just transition from that to gas stoves. You aware what's going on in this country with gas stoves? The U.S. Consumer and Product Safety Commission official, one of the officials, said that the option of banning gas stoves is on the table. Well, all hell broke loose, and rightfully so. And since then, I believe the White House has said, and then no, nobody's banning gas stoves. Believe me, gas stoves are already a target, along with everything else. They're coming for it. And their reasoning to me is pretty insane. It's based on a study about asthma that was partially done and included a group that has an interest, reportedly, in the results of the study. You can't make that stuff up. But I want you to hear. Want you to hear AOC. AOC has come under fire for favoring the banning of gas stoves in people's homes and in, you know, and in restaurants and the commercial facilities. So she, and you know, I never watch her TikTok stuff or whatever she puts these videos out, and you can't see it. But it's like she's laying on a pillow on her couch. Yeah, I mean, this woman with her hair all messed up, it's just weird. Anyway, so she goes on the offensive against people who have been criticizing her, especially since she has a gas stove. But of course, so here is cut 167.
I do think it's funny, the like absolute utter Republican meltdown where they're like, you can take my gas stove or my cold dead hands. Or how dare you talk about gas stoves? You have a gas stove. First of all, I rent, period. Second of all, though, it doesn't even matter, because by that logic, these are the same people who would have said we should have never gotten rid of leaded gasoline. Just because someone may have driven a gasoline car. Science evolves and gives us new knowledge with time.
So her excuse for having a gas stove herself is she rents. I rent, period. Hey, Miss Environmentalist Nutjob, Miss Green New Deal, go rent a place that doesn't have a gas stove. You can't find one? I don't care that you rent. The hell's that mean? Get out of your lease and go get someplace where you hang your clothes on a clothesline. You don't use a dryer. And for your stove, you rub two sticks together. What can I tell you? I rent. Oh, excuse me. I rent. That's a hell of an excuse. But See? Oh, no one's coming from you for your stove. But it sounds like the people who would still like lead in their gasoline. Well, if we're headed down that road, it won't be long before there are no gas stoves, even in AOC's rental unit. So sad for AOC that she has to rent. Oh, okay. So let me take you to CNN. This is last week. Bill Weir is the environmental guy on CNN. And if you're not familiar with him, I'll make you more familiar with him after I play some of these bites for you. This is about the stories of the stoves. 13% of child asthma is tied to gas stoves, don't you know? No mention on what percent of child asthma is tied to electric stoves and cooking and the fumes that come from there. I mean, you know, you got fumes coming out of any stove if you're cooking. From the pots, the pans, the burning, the spillage. There's always fumes. There's always a smell. At least in my kitchen, which might speak to the kind of chef I am, which I know is not good. But here we go. Here is Bill Weir on CNN 126.
But it speaks to the emotion of food and how we prepare it and certain styles. And this is 100 years of advertising. You know, You're Cooking with Gas Now was a deliberate campaign from the American Gas Association when they were up against wood and coal back in the 30s. Even today, a couple of years ago, it was found that they're sort of paying influencers to cook out their gas stoves because electric, frankly, is so superior just in terms of it's much more efficient, it's safer, the induction stoves are safer and all of that. And this has created sort of gas wars in different parts of the country. They banned it in new construction in New York City, out west in California, Washington State. But a lot of states have preemptively banned gas bans. And you can imagine they're usually red states in Texas leading the way. They want to stop this because it's an existential threat to that business.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh, the evil gas stove business. Oh, this has been going on since the 30s. These evil people. Oh, yes, they're paying lobbyists and red states are banning the ban preemptively against gas stoves. How evil they are because it's all about big business. This is sick stuff. I don't have to tell you how sick it is. Oh, they're not finished. Here's more. Number 127.
Yeah, it's, you know, the science is showing us that having a gas stove in a small apartment, especially with bad ventilation, it's like having a car idling there. And if you have young kids, it can affect cognitive abilities and as well as asthma.
So it's just as it's like having a car idling in your small apartment. Really? If you have a car idling in your garage with the door closed and you stay in that garage or in that car, you'll die. So you're telling me now that a gas stove is just, it's just like having a car idling in your apartment? What is he talking about? It makes no sense. And of course, it's not true. But that doesn't stop them. It sounds scary, so they say it. Just he went from having a gas stove in a small apartment with poor ventilation. Well, yeah. Let's shut all the windows in our small little apartment and let's, you know, run everything. I mean, that can't be good for you. And while we're at it, let's bring a car into the apartment. And it's the same as having a gas stove. What? Really? Maybe Joe Biden's Corvette. Little red Corvette. Sorry. I mean, I can't keep up with these people. I just can't. And here's one more from Bill Weir on CNN about the evil gas stoves. Cut 128.
More science comes to light that burning an open flame of methane in your house creates kind of the same exhaust that comes out of your car. There's nitrogen dioxide and carbon monoxide and particulate matter. And if you're not in a well-vented place, if you're in a small apartment, especially with children developing lungs and brains, that can affect cognition. We have statistics, I think 35% of American homes have gas stoves. But childhood asthma attributed to gas stoves, 12%. So it's not a small number to worry about. And so Cory Booker and other senators wrote a letter to the president saying, or to the consumer protection folks, and said, let's think about making mandatory hoods, vent hoods on gas stoves, cutoff valves so they don't leak. Maybe more warnings and more education about the hidden dangers of that kind of stove. But this is an emotional thing. A lot of people love cooking with gas.
Oh, yeah, it's emotional. That's how we started the segment. The emotion of cooking. And now, oh, it's an emotional thing. A lot of people love cooking with gas. Me? I couldn't care less. I really couldn't. I just couldn't care less. I used to have a gas stove. I have an electric stove by coincidence. Doesn't matter to me how the stove gets hot. But it's not the point. Again, comparing it to an automobile in your house running, in your apartment running. You die. I mean, it's just insane. Now, so who is this Bill Weir? That must be what you're asking. I mean, tell us about Bill Weir, Steve. Okay, I'm glad you asked. When his son was born back in 2020, I believe it was April 7th, 2020, in early May, and this was during the pandemic, Bill Weir put out a video apologizing to his newborn son on behalf of himself and you and me and the human race. Here's some of that video. 125.
My dearest river, you were conceived in a lighthouse, born into a pandemic, and will taste just enough of life as we know it to resent us when it's gone. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we broke your sea and your sky, and that your mother was forced to give you your first kiss through a P100 mask that smelled like smoke.
Your arm's okay.
But my boy, we were warned. Scientists told us if we weren't careful, we would unleash an invisible enemy out of the jungles and into our lungs. But we kept cutting down the jungles to devour everything inside.
And it goes on from there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We were warned. We're evil people. We're disgusting. That's who Bill Weir is, okay? I really don't need to say more. Now, one more cut on this before we go to break and come back with some other good stuff. Fox reacted to this, and during the course of the day, they made several references to a picture of Jill Biden. You know, si se padue. Bodegas, and she called Mexicans tacos or Spanish people tacos. Yeah, that Jill Biden. She has a gas stove. She was using a gas stove at her home. I don't think it's the White House. It's maybe in Delaware, wherever the heck it is. I don't know. But they made reference to it several times. Here's Fox talking about Jill Biden. 129.
Maybe somebody needs to break the news to Jill. How is she going to make her spinach artichoke dip with that gas stove?
And how time the Biden administration is considering banning gas stoves over concerns of indoor air pollutants. And that's not faring well for First Lady Jill Biden, who posted a photo cooking on a, wait for it, gas stove.
First Lady Jill Biden now catching some heat on social media over this photo from 2 years ago, showing her cook on a gas stove herself. Yikes. Meanwhile,
debate over banning cooking and heating with gas. Critics brandishing a recent photo of First Lady Jill Biden cooking over her gas stove.
You gotta love it, don't you? It's almost as good as the documents. Not quite, but almost. I say, and it's not as good as her saying, yes, we can in Spanish. Si se puede, whatever that is. Oh, that's a classic bite. I just might pull that out for Monday. Oh, you know what else I'll be pulling out for Monday? She's at it again. Folks, if you've been listening to the show, and if you haven't, I'll tell you. Kamala Harris, who I affectionately call Mamala, because that's the name she likes best, you know. She's very Jewish, married to a Jewish man, so she's Mamala now. Mamala Harris has several times in the past, you know, few months, talked about how I just love electric school buses. I love them. And she did it again on Thursday. She did it again. I don't know why. Maybe because I used to ride school buses, but I just love electric school. And one of the two, like it was on a panel type thing. She was the guest and there were two panelists. And one of the two panelists is just like looking at her like, are you serious? Are you really serious? You know, and then she cackles the laugh after she says it. It's the same crap she was saying a couple of months ago. There's something wrong with this woman. If I told you, look at this drunk woman sitting there laughing. She can't sit still. She's squirming and she's talking about loving electric school buses. You'd say, wow. Now, I'm not saying she was drunk, but if you didn't know better, I mean, what the hell? What's with her? It's really bad. And if Joe steps down, that's what we get. That is what we get. Mamala. Mamala driving her electric school bus.
Ukraine is a country right next door to Russia. Russia's in Europe. Da, 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 da.
Oh, God. 12-year-old reading her little verbal report in front of the class. It is so pathetic. I've never seen a president and vice president like this in my life. Never, ever, ever. And of course, the media,
silent.
You will be silent. Do you hear me? Silence. All right. All right. We're coming back. Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jason Olborn.
Now as 2023 begins, the 2024. Can you believe it? It's next year. Presidential election looms ahead. So far, former President Donald Trump has been the only Republican to announce their candidacy for 2024. And the favored Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is widely expected to run. Now other Republicans are making their intentions known. Last month, Donald Trump's ex-national security advisor, John I Am the Walrus Bolton, teased a White House bid and lashed out at Trump over his attack on the Constitution. His attack on the Constitution. He said he would have to join the 2024 presidential race if other Republicans did not step up and condemn the former president for trying to get rid of the Constitution to ensure no election fraud reoccurs, despite no evidence the 2020 vote was stolen. Told NBC's Kristen Welker on Meet the Press Now, I think to be a presidential candidate, you cannot simply say, I support the Constitution. You have to say, I would oppose people who would undercut it.
Jason Olborn and Jason Q. Citizen on TNT Radio.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The FISA warrants. Misleading Congress. Misleading the DOJ. Misleading Donald Trump. The attack on Michael Flynn. Andrew McCabe fired. The Clinton emails. The Wiener laptop. Roger Stone. The January 6th Capitol riot. Hunter Biden protection. The Gretchen Whitmer plot. Kyle Rittenhouse. The Mar-a-Lago raid. Years of irredeemable corruption by the FBI. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
All right, folks. Welcome back. Steve Malzberg with you on TNT Radio. Don't forget to follow me on social media at Steve M Talk, all the way around Facebook, Twitter, stevemtalk.com, YouTube channel, Steve M Talk. It's all the same. All right. So to the document story we go. Nothing significant that came out of today's White House press briefing with Karine Jean-Pierre at all. All she did was repeat the same thing over and over. She didn't call on Peter Ducey, by the way. Peter Ducey, who was asked the best questions about the classified documents in the garage with the Corvette. You know, what were you thinking? Yes, President Biden. Great, just great stuff. So she didn't call on him today at all. But she did call on other people and they all asked questions and she kept saying, because there's an ongoing investigation, I advise you to talk to my colleagues at the Department of Justice. And that's all she kept saying. And the president takes the classified documents very seriously. And like I said yesterday, there should be a pause there. The president takes classified documents very seriously. Yeah, we know he takes them. You don't have to tell us it's serious. We know. Okay. Anyway, so I want you to hear, and this is a compilation from Newsbusters. I want you to hear how the various networks have been covering this, how they've morphed from the beginning to now. And don't forget, you know, she keeps talking about Karine Jean-Pierre, keeps talking about transparency and how transparent they've been. Don't forget, folks, it was back on November 2nd that the documents were found. We didn't find out about it. You and me and the public didn't find out about it until less than a week ago. And then December 20th about the garage with the Corvette. We just found out about that yesterday. So transparent my butt. Okay. There's not been transparency. This has been hidden until now, for whatever reason. So here is here's Nicole Wallace on MSNBC talking about how Merrick Garland, the attorney general, had the nerve to appoint a special counsel to look into the top secret or classified documents found in Joe Biden's possession. Cut 152.
Special counsel regs are for criminal investigations that are extraordinary in nature. And there's something oxymoronic about Garland standing there and saying, we can handle it with integrity, but we won't. Feels like a bit of a dodge. What is Garland protecting?
You know, well, protecting. I mean, I think he is bowing to the political imperative, which was getting louder and louder and would continue to be. But I think you are 100% right.
But even that didn't trigger the appointment of a special counsel. It was Trump that put that in motion when he announced his intention to run for president. In this case, it was about, what, 3 weeks of looking at the facts and then a special counsel is appointed. Can you explain what looks like a very unequal application of the appointment of a special counsel, Glenn?
You could tell she is like deflated. Nicole Wallace, another TDS sufferer who worked for George W. Bush, she is deflated and she is ticked off about the appointment of a special counsel, which is kind of insane, isn't it? Here's more, 153.
DOJ is a national security agency. I mean, it houses the nation's prosecutors. It also houses a national security division. And the world's national security crisis is that we are now exporting insurrections. What happened in Brazil is an extension of the language, the rhetoric, and the playbook carried out here, where our judicial system, our rule of law, appears very sick if, as Glenn just said, our attorney general is, quote, walking at a leisurely pace in probing those accountable for the deadly January 6th insurrection here.
So she's also criticizing, she's using the opportunity to criticize Merrick Garland, not only for appointing a special counsel for Biden and his possible crimes, but for not going harder after January 6th, because now we're exporting. Now the U.S. is exporting the insurrectionist way of life to other countries, and he better act or it's on him. Come on. Really, Nicole, please. Oxymoronic. Yeah, it's oxymoronic, all right. Okay, to CBS Evening News, Nightly News, who had a different take with Nora O'Donnell, talking to Ed O'Keefe, and we played you the confrontations between Ed O'Keefe and Corinne Jean-Pierre. So here's Nora O'Donnell with a question for Ed O'Keefe, and she's not happy about the way he was treated by Corinne Jean-Pierre. Here's 154.
You notably yesterday were pressing the White House press secretary for more information, were stonewalled at every single turn. The White House has been reluctant to provide really any information on this matter. When you listen to the attorney general this morning, what stands out to you? What additional questions do you have?
Where to begin, Nora? But the most notable now is that this discovery of a second batch of classified documents actually occurred on December 20th, before Christmas, at his home in Wilmington, Delaware. Notably today, he was quite glib when asked to explain why he was storing these documents, apparently in his garage. A reporter pointed out it's the same garage where he stores his Corvette. He grew somewhat defensive, saying, yes, and both the Corvette and those documents were behind a locked garage. Either way, that would appear to be in violation of federal law. It says classified documents aren't supposed to be sitting in someone's garage the way they are.
You think? Come on. The garage door was locked. That's no crime. I mean, if the garage door was open, that's a different story. But it was locked. Okay, so here's more from Ed O'Keefe on CBS. Cut number 155.
The White House counsel's office has issued two statements since CBS News first broke this story. They were vague to some extent now about the timeline, at least based on what the Attorney General just told us. While they may have been cooperating with the Justice Department, and while they are claiming that they're being somewhat transparent now by telling us what they know and the President saying he was surprised, he withheld information about that second batch. He also withheld details of the timeline, and that's going to raise a lot of questions, at least in the public and political space, about why a president who vowed to be so transparent from day one has decided to withhold this. Remember, there was nothing stopping the president of the United States from disclosing this when he first learned about it in November. Nothing that would have stopped him from saying before the Justice Department began, we found these, we weren't supposed to have them, we've turned them over, and get ahead of it. Instead, for whatever reason, among the questions we haven't been able to answer, why, he has decided to withhold this information.
Oh, because nobody wrote it for him on a card to say. That's why. If it was written for him on a card, he would try to read it. Might stumble a bit and mumble a bit, but that's why he didn't say anything from November 2nd until this week. Because nobody told him to, or I'm sure they told him not to. It's just pathetic all the way around. Maybe he was riding an electric school bus with Mamala Kamala. When this all happened, and he just didn't know. He rides in a Corvette. She loves electric school buses. Okay, more 156.
For somebody who campaigned on trying to bring professionalism and better management of federal government to Washington, he now joins his predecessors as the subject of an investigation by a special counsel.
That's right. It is worth noting that President Biden himself is not under investigation, but what happened to these documents is some of the outstanding questions. Why did it take 2 months for this to become public, as Ed has pointed out? And actually, I think kind of one of the most important things are what's the content of these documents that were marked classified? We do know that some of them were highly classified.
Yeah, be interesting to find out. Of course, Biden tells us he didn't ask. He was told not to ask his lawyers what was in the documents, what the documents were, by his lawyers. Now, you go figure that one out. There's attorney-client privilege. If he had documents sitting in a box and his lawyers found them, he can't be told what the documents were? Why? Just makes no sense. All right, now we go to NBC Nightly News and their take on it all. Tom Lamis filling in on the anchor chair. Actually, this was not on the nightly news, but this was on NBC News. And Kristen Welker is the reporter, 157.
President Biden campaigned on a promise to be transparent. We still have a lot of unanswered questions here, Tom. And now the appointment of this special counsel. This is a very significant development indeed. And of course, we continue to try to get response here from the White House.
And Crystal and Kristen, to be absolutely clear here, there is the issue of transparency, correct? Because it has been news organizations that have been breaking the news about these documents, the first batch, the second batch. And now we've learned about this third document, a single document that was also found at his home.
It's such an important point, Tom. And I pressed White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday during her briefing on that very point, that President Biden did campaign on a promise of transparency. These stories are being broken by the news media, not by the White House.
Absolutely true. And from CBS, which was tough on him, NBC, which was tough on him, here's Pierre Thomas and David Moore on ABC 158.
And David, I have to tell you, the Attorney General used the word extraordinary in part because it is extraordinary. You have a sitting president 2 years into his term, and now he will be the subject of a full-scale criminal investigation. The bottom line here, David, is that these documents, which are classified, are supposed to be housed in very specific locations. You heard the Attorney General say that the office, the Penn Biden Center office, was not a place that was prescribed to be allowed to keep these kinds of documents. And when that occurs, the Justice Department takes it quite seriously. And now I'm told as well that the key for this decision in part was built on the fact that these new documents discovered in December, were at his garage. It makes it more difficult to explain away the notion that the president himself might not have been personally involved in getting those documents to his private property. That will have to be determined. But the FBI has begun an investigation to look and talk to the people involved in moving those documents, David. Extraordinary situation.
Extraordinary indeed. One more from ABC, and here's 159.
Documents were out of place for nearly 6 years. And the Justice Department now is tasked with finding out why were they out of place, who was responsible for putting them there, and what were the circumstances. Another key, David, they will look very closely at the documents, I'm told, to look at the content and to see if there's any financial gain the vice president and now president would have gotten out of having these materials. That will be key as well.
Yeah, make no mistake, Pierre, President Biden faces serious questions about these classified documents himself.
Yes, indeedy. All right, good for ABC, NBC, and CBS. But MSNBC, just what you would expect. CNN, also not what you would expect from someone you really wouldn't expect it from. We'll get to that when we come back. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Has anybody stopped to think with all these wind turbines we're building, where we are going to get all these minerals? I mean, aren't there a finite amount of minerals on the earth for these wind turbines? What's going to happen when these wind turbines break down, pray tell? According to estimates, we have so much fossil fuel reserves, the United States itself, for instance, that we could go on for hundreds of years and maybe actually find an alternative to fossil fuels. In other words, use the fossil fuels, grandfather them, and find some other form of energy. I got an idea. How about nuclear power? And of course, we found out that Joe Biden has these secret documents. But what's more important to me is he's got that Corvette. That's a gas-guzzling machine. What the heck is he doing with a Corvette? I think there should be an investigation, don't you? After all, those Corvettes guzzle gas, throw plenty of carbon dioxide out into the air, and contribute to climate change. We need an investigation. Special counsel for that. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather along with everything else. It's the only weather you got.
G'day, Bob's Removals.
Oh, hi. I have a TV I'd like to move.
Just a TV?
Yes.
Where to?
Over near the window.
Right.
You wouldn't call a removalist just to shift your telly, would you? So why call an ambulance when it's not really needed and your doctor, pharmacist or 13 Health could help? Remember, only call 000 for an ambulance if you believe it's life-threatening, critical or serious. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
The Green New Deal supports the abuse and murder of children in the Congo, mining for cobalt for the electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. TNT Radio.
Well, in that case, I think we should get AOC on the phone. I'm sure she could be found sitting on her couch with her hair messed up and eating some kind of potato chips or something and giving political analysis on every subject that's important to this country and putting it on TikTok. I'm sure we could interrupt her and ask her about that. I would love to ask her about that, actually. Very important stuff. Okay, Steve Malzberg with you. All right, so who knew? Go figure. I mean, it wasn't devastating, but anytime you break from the narrative and the norm on CNN, it's like, whoa. Now, this is the morning show, the new revamped morning show that nobody watches. When I say nobody watches, I'm talking about in the 300,000s in the first hour, in the like around 400,000 in the second hour. And maybe they sometimes they break a half a million or so in the third hour. Compared to Fox and Friends and Morning Joe, it's nothing. And by the way, they're revamping their lineup starting, I think, next week. And like every show now is going to have three hosts, you know, during the course of the day, at least following the morning show, which has three hosts. The next 9 to noon is going to have three hosts. It's the same failed hosts. They're just shuffling them up and sticking them together. I don't get it. Anyway, so Don Lemon and his crew has, by the way, Chuck Schumer, of all people. He made the rounds today. I don't know what for. But anyway, so listen to this from Lemon to Schumer, cut 160.
One justice official said that the White House public statements earlier this week offered an incomplete narrative about the classified documents from Biden's time as vice president, reinforced the need for a special counsel. The misleading statements created the impression that Biden's team had something to hide. That doesn't sound that much different than the former president.
John, there's now a special prosecutor. Let's see what they have to say. We can have all this speculation and comment. Let's see what they have to say, and let's focus on doing things that help the American people.
But Senator, I have to say this. You seem much more measured about this than with the Trump documents, because you call for transparency with the Trump documents. You wanted lawmakers to have access to the documents seized from the former president, his residence in Florida, which it seems like you...
The bottom line is, I said that night, it's premature to comment on what should be done. For President Trump. That's exactly
so
right.
I think that
That's
your statements are consistent for
I
both.
I sure do.
For both.
You bet.
It's good for Lemon. And then Poppy Harlow, Lemon's co-host, one of them, chimes in. Here's 161.
You said the president has fully cooperated, and there's no indication that he and the White House have not. But there is a real question about transparency and what the American people deserve.
Prosecutors will get to the bottom of this, and let's let them do it, for God's sake.
I
know
you
all want to buzz around and all of that, but
Let me buzz for one minute, and I promise we'll get on.
But it's not just
hold on.
It's not just us buzzing around. You're the Democratic head of the Senate. This is a really important issue. It's not just buzzing around.
And if there were no special prosecutor, there would be. You know, you might have a different thing to say, but there is. And now we have the law enforcement people who have the power to get all the facts out, doing it. I support both. I think we should have a special prosecutor on each. I don't mind your asking these questions, but my view is I'm not going to say anything. Let the special prosecutors do their job.
Yeah, he doesn't mind them asking the questions. Believe me, in my opinion, second he got off set, he told his people, that son of a gun, whatever. Don't ever put me back on this show. Believe me, he minded hearing those questions asked. Now, let's go to The View. The View, the same View that a day ago talked about how this sounds like the Republicans planted these documents. Remember that? Well, now you got Sunny Hostin again bragging that, and that's not her name, again bragging that she was a former federal prosecutor. Bravo. And basically making excuses for why these documents were found in November and December, and we're just finding out about them now. She's making excuses. Get a load of this. 162.
So we know that November 2nd, Biden's lawyers discovered this small number of classified documents, and we're hearing that there were 10 of them. When that happens, you do immediately contact the National Archives. You do immediately contact the Justice Department, and then an investigation starts. It can be at a palatial pace. That is very true. But let's say this. They interview the president. He's not always that available, but they interview him and he says, it could be here, it could be there, it could be here, it could be there. Please have at it and look in these places. I don't think between November 2nd and December 20th, which is less than, I think, about 6 weeks, for them to continue to complete that type of investigation is so crazy. Mm-hmm. I also will say, because I've conducted these investigations.
All right. She's conducted these investigations. By the way, it's not less than 6 weeks. November 2nd to December 20th. November 2nd to December 2nd is 30 days, is 4 weeks and 2 days. And then from the 2nd to the 20th is 18 more days. So it's about 7 weeks, not less than six. But she's a former federal prosecutor. She's conducted these investigations. So maybe she's right. Maybe I can't count days. Here, she picks up right there from where she left off with cut number 163.
I will also say, I think the holidays helped them out a little bit, because you're talking about December 20th, then you're talking about Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and then finally, when they get back, when everybody gets back, that's when they say, we found these extra things. I don't think this, it's like comparing apples to orangutans.
Right. Listen. I don't think they're hiding anything. And the reason that I don't think that
I don't
is,
think they
no,
are.
No, but let me say this. These documents are at least 6-7 years old. Mm-hmm. Nobody was missing them for 7 years. This guy, you know, Biden could have easily flushed them down the toilet, had his crazy German Shepherd eat them, yeah, or burnt them in the fireplace. But he didn't. What did he do? He self-reported.
He self-reported. Now, we don't know that he self-reported. By the way, that's Ana Navarro, what passes as a Republican on ABC and on CNN. Talk about Trump derangement syndrome. Really? Because the documents are 6 or 7 years, that he had them for 6 or 7 years. Nobody missed them. So that lessens the severity. They make it up as they go along. And they don't make it up well. They just spew such nonsense. Nonsense. Doesn't matter how long he had them. That doesn't lessen. Oh, nobody missed them. Well, nobody knew they were gone. Right. Because nobody's looking for Joe Biden's classified documents. I shouldn't even try to explain away what she said. Now, little Mika speaks. Sit down. I know. If you're standing, sit. If you're sitting down, you might want to lie down. Mika actually speaks. Joe wasn't there. I didn't see Joe in this segment. And don't forget, as far as I know, her brother is still the U.S. ambassador to Poland from the United States. So her brother works for Joe Biden. And what does she do? She goes to bat for Joe Biden. Here is 164.
Politically, for Democrats, the obvious immediate reaction here is, ugh, are you serious? Democrats were on such a roll. Republicans are now going to pounce on this. Ugh. This downplays the significance of the Trump documents scandal, right? I would suggest not so much. Not so much at all. Classified documents in private hands is something Republicans downplayed constantly until the shoe was placed on the other foot. And unfortunately for them, the Trump shoe that dropped was much bigger and entirely different in the key issue of willful intent to obstruct. That's what it's going to come down to.
Okay. Again, I know your brother works for Joe, but obstruct is one thing. Taking the documents illegally is another thing. Just because, in your view, the Trump team didn't acquiesce to the FBI's demands and do a handover exactly what they were told. They were in negotiations, but they couldn't agree, I guess, fast enough. And the FBI was told to raid. Oh, I know it wasn't a raid. That's one thing. That's one issue. But how the documents got there. Don't forget, there was a presidential historian who reportedly said that Trump should be put to death for treason, not for obstruction, but for treason, for taking and having the documents, just like Uncle Joe. And Mika, you must be smart enough to see that, even though you're usually batting your eyes at your husband, Joe, who you left your other husband for. Here's 165.
Many Republicans just aren't smart enough to figure that out. And they can't figure out that this week's developments actually make it more likely the DOJ moves on Trump because of the political space it has been given by the Penn Biden Center and the garage where Joe Biden parks his Corvette. Yes, it was sloppy. In the end, what is most important here is intent, willful intent to obstruct. What we know is that the Biden administration immediately handed over the documents, reached out to the National Archives to say, hey, we've got something here. We also know that Donald Trump held off, even in the face of a subpoena.
Subpoena. I like the first cut when she said, ugh, ugh. Good try, little Mika. Good try. But it doesn't fly. In fact, it was ugh. Because, as I said, these are two separate issues. You're conflating them into one issue. You're not recognizing you're saying, yes, he has the documents in his garage. That was sloppy, but, you know, they handed them over. No, that's two issues. Two issues. How'd they get to the garage? Why were they taken? Who took them? Crime, crime, crime. Red flag. You're just glossing over that and saying, yeah, that was sloppy, but he handed them over. Nah, that's a separate issue. just like with Trump, taking the documents and then, as you say, not cooperating and handing them over fully. Two separate issues. And really, you got to be smart enough to understand that. So you're just, I guess, trying to pump up your brother's boss. What could I say? Folks, I want you to have a great weekend. We got a big week ahead next week, God willing. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. Be here, be there, be wherever you're listening to Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.